What do you get when you have one voiceover girl?
Oh, and me. That makes two voiceover girls.
Okay, when you have two voiceover girls, separated by one pond and two perspectives.
I know. You get the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast.
That's right. Let's listen as Rami and Jessica share their journey into the voiceover industry.
Hi, everyone. It's Rami Santosh, and welcome to Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. So we're going to continue talking about the different genres in voiceover. And this week, we've got our lovely guests again, who'll be sharing their opinions and experiences. So we have Simon, Suzanne, Martin, Lorraine, and Sarah. But before we go to our guests, let's have a word from Jessica. How are you, Jessica?
I'm well. Thanks, Rami. Let's get started. First up, Simon, what genres of voiceover are you working in?
So I'm mostly corporate and IVR, but everything that goes with corporate. A little bit of commercial, and I would hope to build on that as time goes by. Be honest with you, not great with characters, can't do accents. I mean, this is it. So this is a great example of, you know, knowing what I know, but equally knowing what I don't know. Now, if one day I move into, you know, games and character work and other things like that, okay, great. But that'll be part of that particular strategy, not yet developed, not yet created. Right now, I know what I can do, and I also know what I can't. Yeah, and actually thinking about it, and it's not a goal right now, but, you know, check back with me in a few years, maybe it is. But just thinking about it, accents and characters probably contain enough technical skills within them, I'm guessing, because I honestly don't know, to actually really interest me if it was the sort of thing that I would be interested in. Mm-hmm. It's probably a bit like golf, and I don't play that either. So I can talk about all these things with no knowledge at all. But what strikes me about golf, or maybe with you know, accents and whatnot, is there's a certain amount of technique and skill that you need in order to get yourself going. And then it's a question of building from there. Mm-hmm. And if that is right, maybe it is, it's the sort of thing that would probably really stimulate me to want to be able to do that well. Yeah. But right now, it's not on the roadmap.
So Simon, were there any genres in voiceover that you weren't aware of?
Oh, there's a good question. I think, like a lot of people, I just had not been tuning into voiceover. Mm-hmm. You know, gone through life, been through the airport, the railway station, watched the YouTube clips and all the adverts beforehand, etc. Listened to, you know, in the radio, all the commercials or whatever it is that you see on TV, and just not given it a moment's thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen to everything, go, oh, yeah, interesting, I like that, or whatever it might be. And so I'm aware of it. So I can't say there was one particular specific era or genre. I just hadn't tuned it in. Simple as that.
So what is your favorite genre to work in?
What's my favorite? I do like it when you can play a little bit. Mm-hmm. So it's perhaps not so much the genre itself, it's just when you're given the opportunity to perhaps not experiment, but bring it to life. Let's put it this way. You know, I got a script this afternoon for something next week, and it's so tightly written. You know, it's quite clear that they know exactly what they want to hear, and I need to figure out what that is and hopefully be able to do it really well, which is great. But at other times, it's like, this is the broad idea of where we want to go. Please bring it to life. That's the fun part. Mm-hmm. It's a really well-written script, that tightly written script. But because it's self-directed, I need to be able to figure out how they are hearing it to be able to recreate that. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate? Have you come across similar types of situations? And it's fine. But for me, so the challenge is knowing what's in their head and then recreating it. But the fun is you've got words on a page and you can, how about this? How about that? Play with this a little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Simon. I think that's always the fun part of voiceover, where you have a license to be creative and just try out whatever you wish to. So let's go over to Lorraine now. So which genres have you been working in or would like to work in?
Well, I've worked in sex and sexuality. I started to use a pseudonym for that one because I did some of them were nonfiction, which I thought was quite interesting. but I thought I'd sort of expand, and that was sort of something a little bit different. And it was different. The first set that I did, I was under my own name, but after that I did a whole other series. But I found that after a while it kind of got, eh. So now when I get approached, I give them a really high price, and if they really want me, I'll do it, but I won't do it for cheap.
Right. That's a good way to
say I don't want to do
work.
It. Like, if you don't want to do something, overcharge. And if they say yes, you go, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
At least they're paying me for something I don't really want to do, but at least I'll make some good money out of it.
Right.
But generally on the sexuality side of things, when it's nonfiction or when it is fiction, I don't know that they generally want to pay you all that much, but it was an interesting exercise. I did that one when there was nobody in the house.
Find out just how non-soundproof your booth really is, huh? That brings up a whole other set of jokes. Sorry.
It does.
Okay, so we talked about the genres you work in. We talked about things that you wanted to get into and kind of how you got there. Do you have a favorite that you really like? And why is that your favorite?
A favorite in the voiceover in the audiobooks I've done?
Not the audiobooks necessarily, but the styles of voiceover. Like, do you have a favorite? You know, is it audiobooks or is it something else?
Well, considering that I have done instructionals, and I do like doing that because my core of who I am is I love to share my knowledge or share knowledge with people. That's why I, you know, was a trainer for 15 years. I like doing the instructional type things, but where I find that there is a lack, and I would love to be able to get into that and help people, because I'm an adult educator. I've got my certificate in adult education and, you know, the different styles of learning and all that kind of stuff, is the onboarding videos that you have. I don't know if you've done them at work where you just want to, you know, blow your brains out because they are so formal and formulaic and boring. Mm-hmm. It's like, honestly, can't you just talk to people like they're real people? It's like, hey, welcome to store ABC. And you know what? We're going to tell you all about the things that you should know about working here, rather than you're now going to be working for ABC.
Right.
And these are the things that you should do on a daily basis. One, you know, like, oh my God. And I did that. I was hired part-time for a grocery store, a local chain. And that is exactly the type of training we got. We were put in this room and we had to listen to the word from the president. I don't care. What's that got to do with my day-to-day job? You've just killed 15 minutes of my time that I'm never getting back.
Yep. I actually just sat through, I do consulting work for businesses, and I was doing some human resources consulting. And so I had to go through the training that they give their staff for sexual harassment requirement training.
Yep.
And I found myself analyzing the voiceover in it and just going, oh gosh, this is terrible. And then I think it was actually AI. There were some words and some phrasing in there that just seemed like, okay, yeah, that was a real person's voice who generated the words to create that AI, but they ran that script through a program. Mm-hmm. And it was, it was just, it was nap inducing.
Oh.
Can I just ask you to clarify what AI is for people?
Oh, artificial intelligence.
Right. So, and I don't know if AI is even the right term, but yeah, people are starting to go to voices, computerized voices, but they're going to sound authentic because they're having actual voiceover artists record a plethora of words that then get strung together through programming to create the voiceover work in whatever it is that they're doing.
Like the voice for Siri, like the voice for Alexa, like the voice for automated telephone services, you know, well, please tell me what you would like. You could use the word this, or you could use the word that.
Yeah. And some of them are definitely better than others. Some sound really conversational. I mean, like these videos, they were good enough that there were just a couple of things. And I think I only picked up on it because I do voiceover. I don't think anybody else would have necessarily picked up on it. They had a really good program that they used, but there were just a few things where I was like, no. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was trying to find, I had written an article for LinkedIn where I was talking about, you know, like some things that you should know about being a voiceover artist. And then it had the whole list of the different areas of voiceover that you could be into. And
were there any genres that you didn't realize existed and you were surprised to know about?
Like at the moment, I can't even remember all of the list, but yeah, it's just, sometimes it's something as stupid as because they're doing electronics for fridges and store and like appliances, like, please shut the door. You know, like I will always remember my brother had bought a car, like this was years and years ago before voiceover really got going. And then they were just starting to incorporate a little bit of voices into vehicles, and his car, it had a really breathy one, and it would go, your door is ajar. Like, oh God, what's going on with this boy? And then you got the voiceover for, you know, like navigation systems, and then you mm-hmm. can pick the types of voice. And we had one where it was with one of them, and it was the Never Lost system. And I remember that we selected a man's voice, and we were in Winnipeg, and one of the streets in Winnipeg, like some of them are French names, so they would struggle a little bit with something like La Marchandière, but one of them was Osborne. But every time it got to that, it said, turn right on Osborne Street. And we're going, why is he so angry about Osborne Street?
I crack up at the mispronunciations of some of them. Like, so near me is a town called Eugene, E-U-G-E-N-E, right? Mm-hmm. Eugene.
Right.
And every time the navigation system says it, it's like, now entering Eugene. And it's like, what the hell's an Eugene? Why would it be pronounced that way?
Yeah. And there you go. There's the challenge of being a voiceover artist, is that sometimes those pronunciations can get a little bit dicey. The other thing too is that it's doing it in such a way that you're believable, even if it's a topic of that you're reading that you're not necessarily really immersed into or that you don't really know. And I remember I was watching a video, and of course there's the voiceover, and it was when I was just starting off in IT, and the woman was speaking away very clearly, beautiful voice, and she would go on with TCPIP, and I'm going, okay, to all of us, it's just TCPIP, it's not TCPIP. Which I went, okay, honey, you have no idea what you're reading, do you?
Some of those initials or acronyms or whatever, they just,
absolutely,
when you know them, they slide off your tongue like they're just another word. But when you don't, you're like, you sound very robotic trying to
pronounce
them.
You do. And oh boy, if you want a whole bunch of initials, for go into the IT field, and you know, UPS is not the people who deliver your mail. It's an uninterruptible power supply, but it just goes on and on and on. I mean, when I first started in that field, I had a whole list because there were so many acronyms that you just sat there and went, what?
It was like, that
I have no idea.
Yeah, I was in banking and it was the same thing. There were so many acronyms for everything or shortened words that if you spoke to somebody else who was in banking, you totally knew what was happening. But you have that third person there who worked wherever and they're just like, what language are you speaking?
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And I remember I was in a group meeting. At the time, I wasn't in IT yet, but I was in the IT department. And it was a big group meeting that they would have. And I had to write notes. Someone came up about the UPS and I went, what is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I went into IT and then it made a whole lot of sense, but they had to actually say, well, it's like a giant battery. So yeah.
You're like, oh, okay. Why couldn't you just mm-hmm. come up with that?
Or why didn't you just say it was an uninterruptible power supply? But yeah. Okay. Yeah. But it does get to be unwieldy. The TCPIP is Transmission Control Protocol IP. internet protocol. So if you ever wonder,
now you know.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Lorraine. I think it's important what you said about making scripts interesting, making voiceover that you're doing interesting and being engaged. That is our job, to make scripts engaging and interesting for the listeners. And we've obviously had a little chat about AI again, artificial intelligence, and how that's trying to come in and doing voiceovers. As you said, you can tell when it's artificial, and it's just not the same as human voiceover, is it?
Thanks, Lorraine. Thanks, Romy. Let's check in with Martin. Are you far enough in your journey where you're starting to see any kind of shift in like the genres that you're working in, or are you still sort of working in the same areas where you started out?
Well, so when I initially was coming at it, it was looking at, you know, the two main demos I had made had been commercial and narration. And I'm also bilingual. I speak German. But it had been something in my mind like, oh, I want to also offer that. But I hadn't put a lot of priority into that. And so, interestingly enough, I, at one point then later after the demos were made, you know, somebody said to me, well, you should be doing German as well. And so I thought, well, okay, I put together some very brief German demo material for my website. Mm-hmm. And then I started auditioning on a pay-to-play site in German. And I was getting actually quite a bit of likes in the on the German side, which was really what surprised me. I mean, mostly because I'd been focusing on the English side and was getting likes on the German side. So it's an area that I'm looking to, you know, learn more about and practice more and build out further. But that, I guess that's been, you know, maybe the more surprising thing, including like a German character demo or a German character, which I was like, wow, that's great. That I had never even thought that somebody would want me as a German character. So, so that was surprising to me.
Martin, do you speak German with an American accent?
Yeah. So I actually had somebody that I didn't know him directly, but I asked him to listen to my demos in German, and he said it was a pretty solid German, but he said there was a very slight American accent in it. And so
wow.
I'm not sure if I'll ever lose that. I mean, maybe I will, or maybe I won't, or maybe it's a benefit to have, you know, just that slight accent there.
American.
The fact that it's slight when, you know, it's like, that's amazing.
Right. Yeah, well, my parents, they were both from Germany, and so I grew up actually, you know, getting yelled at in German first. you know, I learned German from them as a child, and so you could almost say I was, you know, I learned that first, but it was here in the U.S. when I, mm-hmm. where I grew up, so, and had taken some German school on Saturday mornings, which sucked because you have cartoons Saturday morning. That's the time to watch those, you know. But yeah, now I'm grateful, of course, that they gave me, you know, the opportunity to learn that and you know, be able to speak it. And we still have family over in Germany and go visit them pretty regularly and to speak German, you know, with them, because most of them don't speak English. So
it's helpful.
Yeah.
Very helpful. Yeah.
I think it's great to be bilingual and be able to speak, you know, more than one language, which gives you access to more than one culture. So Martin, just going back to genres, are you planning to explore any other genres?
I think, you know, right now it's the German side. I'm looking at that, but I am looking on the English side towards some character, because I think the acting part will help, you know, to build that out more. And, you know, I'm always looking at different classes and things like that that are available. There's just a ton of resources online that, you know, I'd encourage all of your listeners to take advantage of. You know, there's forums and things like that. And there's free classes too. I mean, mm-hmm. usually at the end, there's a pitch for a bigger, you know, program, but you can sure learn a lot from listening to some of the existing talent that's out there. There's so much that people have to offer. And so, you know, I would highly encourage everybody that's interested in this to go and do that.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Martin. I think it was really interesting to know that you are bilingual and you've actually been using that in your voiceover work and getting some success in that as well. So that's really good. So that's a good message that if you do more than one language, then definitely explore the different possibilities that the other languages can bring to you in your work.
Let's have a listen to what Suzanne has to say.
So you mentioned that you are in you do explainer videos and e-learning and that sort of thing. Are those the only genres you work in, or do you work in other genres as well?
So I would love to work in commercials.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone would love to work in commercials.
That's like the holy grail, right?
Okay, I think my ultimate would be a pharmaceutical commercial. I would love to do a pharmaceutical commercial. I did a political ad last year. And I recently did a project for a company. It's an app that's launching, and it was a data collection project, and they needed people to speak and whisper phrases. So that was kind of interesting. I'm open to working in any genre, maybe except audiobooks. Maybe like an audiobook that was like maybe an hour or 2 hours or something, but I don't know if I had the stamina to do a full audiobook. I would edit audiobooks for people, but for me to record and edit, ooh, that would be a lot.
You know, if you need a side gig, there's always audiobook narrators looking for editors. You could just throw your little thing up in one of those groups and have like a full roster of people that you work for.
I've heard that, and I'm kind of interested in it. I'm kind of like, oh, that's another thing I should look into. And I'm like, okay, how do I market myself for that? I don't know. I mean, it's something I've thought about, definitely.
Yeah. Well, and the voiceover, I think the folks in voiceover would be like all over it being you doing it versus somebody who doesn't do voiceover, because you can understand some of the nuance that maybe someone who just does editing and doesn't do voiceover would.
Yeah.
Would know.
I mean, I'd like to think that my editing skills are good enough that I could edit an audiobook. So I don't know. Maybe I should reach out. I don't know. This is something I could definitely look into.
Oh,
contact
yeah.
me, Suzanne at SuzanneAmy.com, and I will edit your audiobook.
Yeah, there you go. Who knows? Maybe you'll be like, well, okay, it's not as bad as I thought. Maybe I will do an audiobook.
Yeah, if I can do the reading or the editing, but not both.
Right.
That would be the thing that stops me from going into audiobooks. I mean, I don't mind the narration side of it. It's all the editing and how long it would take. So okay. I will call you if I ever get an opportunity.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah. If I go to outsource, I'll do the same. Like I do audiobooks, but in my experience, I'm not spending 8 hours to do a single hour of audio. But yeah, but it's true. Some people do, especially when you get started, because
you got to read the book too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, so we'll goodness. See. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Suzanne, are you exploring different genres?
I'm getting a lot of auditions. I'm still I still consider myself in the early stages to a certain extent. So I'm sort of auditioning. I'm throwing my hat in the ring for a lot of different things and seeing what works and what sticks. So I'm open to anything, really.
Do you have a favorite genre? I mean, I know that you've got the ones that you say, like, these are what I think I fit best for. Are those also your favorites, or do you have one that maybe is your favorite that you'd like to work in more or something like that?
I would like to do characters, like especially if it's like a commercial. Like I did an audition the other day, and it was supposed to be like a woman arguing with her husband in a commercial, and so like I put on like the most like voice I could, and anyway, I don't know if that was what they were looking for. But anyway, I think it would be fun to do characters, to incorporate, you know, the acting and stuff like that. But I'm kind of open. Nice. Yeah.
Were there any genres of voiceover that you realized were voiceover where you were like, wow, I had no idea that was voiceover?
Right. I think that there are people that voice news articles, and I didn't realize, like, I guess that there are people who, you know, they rely on the voice read version of an article because for visual reasons.
Oh yeah.
I didn't realize that that was an industry that people are, you know, like you get a newspaper, like, I don't know, a big newspaper, and there's people that record the articles and that people who have visual disabilities can click on it and listen to the article. I didn't know that was a thing. So that was surprising to me.
I think I just learned something. I don't think I had even thought about that being a thing, but it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of companies will, I think, use AI to read it, but there are companies that actually want a live person to, like a real person to record their articles.
That kind of sounds like it'd almost be like TV promo where you have to be available every single day to be able to record for that publication.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's a thing. I was very surprised about that. I didn't realize that ADR was a thing. So in a movie, the people in the background have to be dead silent when the movie's being filmed so because they only want to pick up the recording of the two main characters or one main character talking. So they have to actually record people talking in the background. So they'll bring people into a studio and then people will be like, say they're in a restaurant. They're like, oh, pass the salt. Oh, this is great food. Yum, yum, yum. Pineapple, banana, pineapple, banana. And they put that recording over top. So the people that were dead silent in that room, now they have a recording of them actually talking and eating and having conversation. So I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah. I remember sitting in on a webinar with Hugh about that and thinking, wow, you know, like the fact that they've got to just sort of create like this murmur of background noise that's indiscernible, you know, like it's they could be talking about, like they could pineapple banana.
Or what was that? The word I was like murmur, like they'll sometimes just sit there and go murmur or something. There's some word.
And I think he was talking about how some words that you can mouth that can look like other things so that you can have a match up to the
So that was interesting. I didn't know that was a thing at all.
Well, thank you, Suzanne, for sharing your experiences of different genres and pointing out that reading news articles for people with visual impairments is also a voiceover genre. Sarah, welcome back. So I'd like to start off by asking you, what different genres are you currently involved with?
Well, I have a medical narration voiceover reel, demo reel, a commercial demo reel, a dramatic demo reel, and I'm working towards doing the character script for my demo reel as well. I haven't really thought long and hard about which one to go for first. You know, I just gave myself a goal to work on a demo each day to record my demos. And I just researched scripts and chose some that I liked and recorded them. And then my dramatic demo I wrote myself, but I had an idea for it, and I wrote about one of the experiences that I had when my son was born. And it was really good writing that and putting it all together because it was also quite therapeutic, and that came easy to me. But the character script I'm struggling on because I'd like to have a character demo. So I'm not really concentrating on just one particular genre. I have joined a pay-to-play site, and I will be just keeping my options open and just seeing what happens.
Yeah.
I do like doing medical narration because I like the big words. That's quite fun to do. And I like the commercials. And, I like all of it. I like narrating as well.
That's how I end up feeling, is a little bit like, oh, I want to do that and that and that and that and that. I'm like an excited child in a candy store or something, you know? I want to do all the things. And it can be tough to narrow it down.
Yeah. Well, just see where it takes you. It doesn't matter, does it really? You know, you don't have to stick to one. And you might feel that there's a genre that you think, I'll be absolutely no good for that. And you might have a go at it and find that you really are good at that particular genre. So you don't want to put yourself into a box before you're ready.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what genres are you working in currently?
I'm not working in anything at the moment.
Oh.
I am still networking, and I think you have to network all the time, don't you? So I'm auditioning on Mandy each day, or when the auditions come in, and we'll just see where that takes us. You can audition for ACX as well, for narration. So that's another thing you can be auditioning for. And networking and writing to clients and just offering. I'm going to be offering telephone services and just seeing where that email ends up. And if there's anybody out there that wants a telephone voice. So we just have to see where it goes.
Well, thank you, Sarah. That was great. I really like the fact that you're still exploring different genres. And I think what you said is really important about not pigeonholing yourself. I think it's important to continue exploring and just trying things out. There's so much to explore in voiceover. So you really need to just give yourself that time and space to try out different genres.
Good stuff. Thanks to our guests for sharing their insight and experiences in voiceover. Join us again next week when we have part B of the interviews with our voiceover friends about genres in voiceover. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in connecting with us, you can do that through our Facebook group. That's facebook.com/groups/voiceovergirlsacrossthepond.
So until the next episode, take care and goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for the Voiceover Girls Across the Pond podcast. This is where we would normally shout out to our sponsors.
Rami, we don't have any sponsors yet.
I know, but if we did, this would be the shout out. Hint, hint. Don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast.
And tell all your friends, your family, your neighbors, and everyone else.